This is Eye on the Experience Industry.
Hi, I'm Tom Burns. I'm coming to you from Niagara University, from the College of Hospitality, Sport, and Tourism Management. And we have this new podcast called Eye on the Experience Industry. I'm here with Dr. Bridget Nyland, who's the dean of the college. And people do podcasts for any number of reasons. But Bridget, tell me about your vision behind this one and what people can expect to hear on a regular basis from the college.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for being part of this exciting launch for our college. We're an experience-based economy and industry, especially here in Western New York, but even just the Northeast region spanning down into the Midwest. We know that economic trends have shown us that people continue to spend money, even during recessions, during pandemics, they continue to spend money on buying a great experience. And the experience economy and the providing those great experiences is at really the bedrock of our college, regardless of whether you are studying hospitality, sport, or tourism. All managers in all those three industries are trying to create great experiences for their guests.
And you touched on each of those, and I don't know that people always think about the experience industry, right? There's a restaurant, or there's a Bills game, or something, but all those things kind of come together, and the college brings those together, right? I mean, and students get to see that side of it.
Absolutely. The experience economy, which feeds the experience industries, the experience economy is valued at $12 trillion, and it's global. And so when you study with us, you get a window in all of where those $12 trillion are showing up among hospitality, sport, and tourism. Where are the hotspots in terms of experiences, presently? We have professors who study those areas. Our first episode is really focused on the youth sports industry, which has gone from, barely a trickle in the 1980s to now being $50 billion. We also look at it from a local level. We are located next to one of the wonders of the world, and that obviously is on so many people's bucket list to see. And so we are able to give our tourism students a firsthand look at what tourism and destination marketing and DMOs, destination marketing organizations, the plentiful jobs that exist within the tourism and event planning industry. And then, of course, our bedrock has been hospitality and hotel management. We are a school that is funded by the Statler Foundation, one of the most premier hotels of our time in the 20th century, that has gone on to really help us send our students throughout the globe internationally to gain these internationally wonderful hotel, restaurant, luxury club operations type of experiences. So we felt that there was a need, and we know that there's a need for to hear from people from the experience industry. So you'll hear sometimes from our professors and the projects they're working on, but a lot of times you're going to tune in and you're going to hear from individuals who have expertise in the industry coming from the industry. I believe that's a great way to build community and also kind of validate and make sure whatever we're communicating in the classroom is still valid out there in the quote-unquote real world.
And the other piece, too, which I think will be exciting, the other group I think we'll hear from a little bit will be students. And talk about what we'll hear from them and kind of the experiences that they have, whether it's a hotel in Italy or an NFL team or a Super Bowl or whatever it is, and talk about some of that we might hear from students, because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, we pride ourselves at our college, at Niagara University, to the experiential learning process and making sure that is a strong component of whatever they're learning in their curriculum. So you're going to hear from our students who are pretty much, we have the same experiential learning right from the start. When you come and study with us at Niagara University in our college, you are not waiting to do an internship. You are not waiting to go out and get that connecting experience to the career you want to build for yourselves. So you're going to hear from first semester students who had the very opportunity to get ready in that. We have a program, LinkedIn, headshots, professional dress, etiquette dinners, resume building, all of those things are baked into our curriculum. They're not add-ons. The students don't go seek them out. They show up in their classrooms. And then after that first semester, our students are on the road. Just even looking past this past weekend, we had students in New York City looking at luxury club operations. We had students in Charlotte studying club management, both club management from a sports perspective, club management from a private club, country club experience. And then we had individuals down in Ellicottville working in the tourism destination market of Ellicottville, New York, which is a beautiful enclave here in Western New York with all the fall foliage you could ever hope for. So we want to make sure that the students are having that active learning process and that they're getting out there and making those immediate connections to the career they hope to build for themselves.
And you touched on it a second ago, today's episode, another part of people think of the sports world, right? And they automatically go to the big four sports that we all know and then add in soccer, right, as, you know, huge sports. But that's not the sports part of the sports world that touches the most people is youth sports, probably, right? It's in every community, in every neighborhood. And so talk a little bit about what we're going to hear today from yourself, an expert in that field, and Dr. Darren Treadway, and kind of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially in the 21st century, youth sports has become pervasive. And in part, and what we talk a little bit about on today's episode, is just the changes that have taken place in how youth sport is presented and delivered to families in the 21st century. And that is a high level of grassroots, private organizations delivering those sport opportunities. And we are very unique here at Niagara University. Our College of Hospitality, Sport, and Tourism Management received a large grant from the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation, who is really keeping an eye on who gets to participate, who doesn't, how we balance out healthy youth sport tourism without negatively impacting local participation. And so that is a unique area that our students get to work on when they come and study with us. And it prepares them not only to work in professional and college sports, but working with youth sports organizations at the level we do, which is really about building their capacity, building their operational and managerial abilities, really helps our students get that kind of cutting edge experience to go out there and immediately make an impact when they graduate.
You're listening to Eye on the Experience Industry.
As you said, faculty and students and so many incredible alumni. People don't always, you have to connect the alumni, but they're in North Carolina and Florida and here in
Western
New York.
They're global. Yeah. They're in Vietnam. They're in China. Yeah. They're in Japan. They're in Australia. Right. So we have over 3,000 plus alumni that span the globe. And because we are over 50 years old, a college that's been around for 50 years that was rooted in tourism and event management, added hotel restaurant management, and then later sport management. But, you know, sport management wasn't really a standalone program until the 80s, 90s when all that television money came into professional sports. So what's interesting is we had this tourism and event program, and it was tourism and event. It was those destination marketing organizations that were responsible for putting on large scale sporting events. So I say, and I think it's a true adage, we have some of the first true sport management majors in the country. And that is true. And especially we have individuals who are responsible for Visit Greensboro. And Greensboro is tournament town, Greensboro, North Carolina. It's also home to the Greensboro Aquatic Center, which is one of the destinations for competitive swimming in the world. And there are folks that studied tourism and event management majors, that major with us. And so there is a strong connection between sport and tourism and destination management. And, you know, similar things of you go to run the Boston Marathon, you're dealing with a destination marketing organization. Sure. So whether you're going to watch or going to participate, when you travel for sport, you really are engaging in that tourism event management side. And so our alumni have been there from the start. You know, Visit Erie, that's our alumni. Visit the Finger Lakes, that's our alumni. You go down to Miami-Dade, our alumni. You go out to Las Vegas, it's our alumni. So you're going to hear from all these really, really interesting people who have built fascinating lives by working in the experience industry.
And then the last piece before I let you go and we get to bring Dr. Treadway in. You have an event coming up on campus, and tell me a little bit about those types of events you're hosting, these campus conversations, and you know what those are and what people can look for from that.
Absolutely. So this Saturday, December 8th, we will be hosting what we call Campus Conversations through our Cornerstone program, and Cornerstone is a collaboration between the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation and Project Play Western New York, and it's all about changing the conversation around youth sports so that we're sure to highlight the lifetime values that our young people can and will gain that will take them through their past, well past their youth sport experience. And so each 1 month, one day each month, we invite a campus team, whether it's from our campus or another campus, and their coach. And we invite members of the youth sport organization community. We invite youth sport coaches, and we invite families and parents, because they're all part of the process. All of us work together to create a really positive youth sport experience for our young people. And so we all spend 2 hours together. We have a program that we built, NIARG University built, with Michigan State University, their Institute on the Study of Youth Sport. And it's a really nice 90-minute program. And I have yet to hold a session where people don't leave feeling better and energized about what they do for youth sports and getting more kids involved in it.
And the best way for, if somebody's interested, to find that is through?
Go to our website for Cornerstone, which is Cornerstone Sport, Western New York, or you can just Google Cornerstone Sport, Western New York, and it will come up. And our students run that website. It looks great, and they keep it up to date.
Great. Looking forward to that. Dr. Bridget Allen, thanks for joining us for the opening segment. We'll be back with Dr. Darren Treadway and Dr. Nyland in just a minute. Thanks for being with us on Eye on the Experience Industry.
You're listening to Eye on the Experience Industry.
So hi, I'm Tom Burns from Niagara University's College of Hospitality, Sport, and Tourism Management. Today, we're going to talk specifically about one of the pieces that people might not think about when they talk about the myriad of programs and learning that happens within the college, but it's the focus on youth sports and youth sports, not just as a competition, but a development for young athletes, for coaches, for communities. And I have a couple of great experts with me. I'll start with, of course, the dean of the college, Dr. Bridget Nyland. Bridget, you have a strong background on this. How did you get into it, and where is it now, and where are we going? And then we'll introduce Dr. Darren Treadway as well. But tell me what you think off the top.
My interest in youth sports really came through two avenues. First was just personal experience. And so I had grown up at a time that, I always say you could play any sport you wanted with the Town of Amherst ID card. You had to go get your ID card, and then after that, you played. You could play everything from a kickball to softball to skating to swimming. And that's kind of how I grew up. And then fast forward 20 or so years, and I'm raising my own kids, and I'm back in Buffalo, and the landscape looked a lot different. And it wasn't just the cost of the ID card or just those house leagues that you made your first friends and memories from. That was happening around the same time that I got acquainted on a professional level with Mary Wilson. Ralph Wilson and Mary Wilson had just started an initiative for girls in sport, really looking at who was playing sports and who wasn't. And then it was also the same time that I was working with Damon College as a college athletics director. And what really worried me when I was at Damon is the number of kids that were in my office or across the desk from me with burnout, mental struggles, a lot of dysfunction sometimes on teams, that when you dug into it, it wasn't the other student athletes, it wasn't the coach, it was the fatigue. And so that really got me thinking about what is going on in youth sports and how has it changed. And so from there, I became more involved with Western New York Girls in Sports. And through that, eventually the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation, and ultimately had the opportunity to be part of the group that built Project Play Western New York. And then I came back to academia because that's my first love, and I love working with students, and I love being around faculty members and having great conversations about topics at a level that is just one, two levels below or above, I guess, which depends, right? Dr. Treadway, sometimes it's above and sometimes it's below of really what really we might be seeing out there in the quote-unquote real world. And so in 2021, the Wilson Foundation asked us to take a piece of the Project Play Western New York puzzle. My piece really goes to what we call a coach engagement. And coach engagement links up to the concept of if we know kids are priced out, pushed out, or burnt out of the 21st century youth sport model. Priced out is an issue that we don't necessarily address here at Niagara directly. But what's going on the pushed out and burned out level, and what role do coaches and coaches training play in that kind of loss of participation opportunities or kids participating? I was lucky enough in my process to bump into Dr. Darren Treadway, who helped the other part of that puzzle is youth sports organizations. And what role do youth sports organizations play in this 21st century youth sport industry complex? And so for that, I will throw it over to my colleague, Dr. Darren Treadway, to talk a little bit about his work.
So, Tom, I think you asked how we came to this.
Yeah, right.
I was kind of wandering in the youth sport wilderness, I guess 6 years ago when Bridget found me. I was like probably many of people listening here. I'd played youth sports. I played college sports. I coached in college. And then I was coaching my kids through the process and all the ambitions that they had. And Bridget found me and said, hey, we're having these problems with organizations. They're having trouble continuing from season to season, making sure that they're sustainable financially, making sure that we can offer programs in low-cost areas, and the way to do that is efficiently. So would you come in and kind of take a look? I'd spend about 20 years at that point in Research One institutions doing academic research regarding leadership, regarding organizational development, those sort of things. So I went and took a look. I had an opportunity to work with Project Play Western New York in the capacity group, and we started thinking about, you know, what is it that's challenging these organizations the most? We had an opportunity to look at organizations that weren't just not-for-profits, but they were unique in the not-for-profit because not only were they not-for-profits, most of them are not professionalized. Most of them are, while you may be a professional, you may be a lawyer or a doctor, youth sports, you ended up being the president of a youth sport organization because you were the slowest guy to put their hand down, yeah, right? Or you were the nicest guy.
You didn't
guy.
Show up at a meeting, and yeah, exactly. Next thing you know, you're the commissioner, right?
And so these folks, there were a number of things that were going on because they were not only volunteer, you know, workers, they were volunteer-led, that they just didn't have the time or energy to look at in relation to organizational capacity. Organizational capacity is all the systems that are in place in an organization to make sure we're financially, strategically, marketing, all that's healthy. So we built a program that now Ralph Wilson Jr. Foundation funds for us here at Niagara University. It's, just like Bridget's, it's a one-of-a-kind program in the country that works with youth sport organizations to kind of build up their organizational capacity, go in and help them build strategies for their organization, go in and make sure that their marketing, most of their marketing dollars approximate zero. Right. So it's, you know, how do we use social media and relationship marketing well? All across the spectrum and capacity. And like Bridget's program, because of our funding from Ralph Wilson, we're able to do all that for free for the organizations in Western New York, which really makes it accessible, not just to those people who are in the affluent suburbs, but to people who are in the rural and inner city areas where the challenges of the economy may be more prolific in that regard.
And this is a pretty broad question, and you don't have to get into specifics, but have you been successful? Have you seen change in those areas where it's helped? And, you know, you mentioned the challenges that these organizations face because of whether it's time, money, location, whatever. But talk just, so you know, overall, cool. You know, what you see, yeah.
Here's what's real cool about our program and Bridges as well is it's faculty-led. It's led by experts like us. But it's student involved. So when we do consulting projects, our students are involved in those consulting projects. It's no different than consulting for, you know, I've consulted for Fortune 50 companies. I've consulted for mom and pops. What we do for these folks is no different. So they're learning the skills along those regards. Now, in the last 4 years we've had the grant, we've run about 40 organizations now, soon to be about 50, through our training and capacity building. Those organizations last year impacted 20,000 families in Western New York. So I think if you talk to them, to an organization, they say, hey, yeah, we may not have got the strategic plan perfect, but we started thinking about things about how we're here next year and how do we get Tom out of being the president of our baseball organization and make sure the next generation is there. So it's the most fulfilling work I've ever done. I would consider myself having a pretty successful career on both the working with the community. Our impact is tremendous, and working with our students, I think it's incredibly rewarding.
And what you said there, and I'm going to pivot to Dean Nyland, talking about it from the college that you run, mm-hmm. How important is that to have those students involved? I mean, that's real life experience for them, right?
I think it's incredibly important. I think sometimes when a program is offered to sport management, what is sold to the students is you're going to work in professional sports. You're going to work in upper level college sports. And that's great if that's what their goals are. We are very straightforward with our students. We have wonderful opportunities to get them to those positions, and we have a great history of getting them to those positions. But there is another $50 billion industry out there in youth sports. And that industry each day is getting more and more privatized, which part of me, I'll tell you, doesn't like. But another right. part of me is saying, if it is going to go and get privatized, whether it's through these smaller organizations that Darren works with so frequently, or through larger for-profit organizations, where, again, I kind of defer, where Darren and I started to do this work together is, you know, if we really want to try to keep to that original model we had of youth sports that was provided by our government entities and have since really been defunded, we then want non-for-profits to step in that space because they're probably most true to the educational community mission. That hasn't happened. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of for-profits. So we prepare our students for both. I think the wonderful thing about Darren's program, I've been able to be a part of it both because some of the as these organizations work through Darren's programs, their coaches and leaders will come through a session of the youth engagement program that I oversee. But also I've gotten to see these students where they'll come in and we do everything from answering questions or being a sounding board. Darren's program guides them through everything, like you said, marketing, to what is your legal status? Like, right. are you a nonprofit organization? Are you a 501c3? Are you an LLC? What better way for a student to learn the difference between forms of business by actually sitting with an organization and helping them work through what is the best form of business for me to serve the most kids? So it's a unique opportunity that builds right into our emphasis on experiential learning in our college and hands-on learning. We get our students out working on projects, whether they're sport, tourism, hospitality, but we get them out within one semester of them being on campus. And, you know, they'll meet Dr. Treadway, as they know him. Every student will take his class on leadership and organization their very first semester, which is a perfect opportunity to start having them think about youth sports and the organizations we served in this way.
I think it's really, again, I go back to, you know, we talk about this unique experience. We have students who are working for all the professional teams mm-hmm. and the large universities around town. There's a place for that. When you go to do the first semester with them, you know, I got an internship with the XYZ. I'm not going to mention names, whoever it happens to be. And mostly what they did is they held the mascot's tail and they fired a t-shirt cannon. And there's a place for that, to learn game day operations. They real quickly get an opportunity to get involved in our program in terms of consulting and figure out how to put a map forward. In addition, when they work with Bridget's program and around what she's doing, her program's super cool. Another one of a kind program that actually helps train coaches. You know, we assume that kids learn lifetime values through sports, but nobody can tell you how. Right. We just show right. up and hope right. it works out. Her program actually helps coaches learn how to do that. Everyday coaches, not necessarily professional coaches, mm-hmm. coaches like us, mm-hmm. right? The dad and mom who went, I guess I'll help because we're the last one there. We're scared to death of the other options, whatever it happened to be.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so I think it's just a tremendous opportunity as somebody who came out of a business school. Like, our students get more hands-on experience, and we see it. You talk about placement rates. Placement rates in sport management nationwide are about 25%. Ours are 97%. Yeah. And so something we're doing here in terms of the experience they're getting is working.
And in a facet that a lot of people wouldn't even, like you said, they think the major sports league teams and whatever else, but there's a whole other world of sport.
And they get there exposed is. To right. all of it
yeah.
with
yeah.
us.
Yeah. yeah.
That's what, I mean, again, and sometimes, you know, we'll end up with this program because it is focused on youth. We have students that are minors in our college with our education program, or minors in our college with our communications programs, that really see the opportunities that are out there in youth sports. And some go to work full time in them, but some go to work, they find other full time. You know, they might be the teacher that has a sport management minor that allows them to supplement their salary at the school district, you know, to the tune of $20,000 sometimes right, sure, by the right. end of the year.
Yeah.
And if they've come through our program, they're going to walk into that perspective on youth sports with the knowledge in terms of organizational capacity when you're dealing with volunteer youth sports organization, but then B, through our youth engagement tool of making sure that their coaches are just as equipped and skilled to be a young person's next great mentor as they are to be the next person that teaches them the physical athletic skill that might come along with the sport. I mean, our segment of the Cornerstone program, the youth engagement tool, really emphasizes being the type of coach that you think about and you talk about to your own kids 20 years later in a very positive way.
And we all have those coaches, right?
We all do. Yeah. And especially in Western New York. And a lot of times they came through a mom and pop run sports league. Right. They didn't come through the town of Hamburg or the town of Amherst. They might have come through Matheson McCarthy or the Swimkins, sure, or, you know, Amherst Youth Hockey, or, you know, somewhere along that line, Niagara Falls or Niagara Frontier Volleyball, all of which are organizations that have worked with Darren in terms of trying to make sure their organization is running smoothly.
It's really cool. Also, I think in this day and age where you're looking, students are looking to make an impact, it really gives you a hands-on, on-the-ground view of what the impact is you can make with the blessings you've been given, the talent you've been given, right? Like, we deal, there's so many organizations in Buffalo that through sports are trying to enrich kids' lives. Organizations never heard of. And it's great for our students to be able to be a part of that, I think, and consistent with our mission here at Niagara University. I think it's fantastic.
The last thing I'll add, too, is, I spent 3.5 years with Project Play Western New York and helping a team of people kind of build that organization and concept. And my number one and two partners were the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres locally. Nationally, met with the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, MLB. Why? Because those leagues all have a huge stake in the stability and growth of youth sports. Because if they're not playing, they're not going to be watching.
Right. Well, we could sit and talk about this all day because we all have the experiences of the time, but fantastic conversation about what we're looking at, that part of the $50 billion industry of youth sports, and it's great. Dr. Bridget Nyland, Dr. Darren Treadway, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.